Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 2 tonight as we come back to the Word of God. It's been a while with all the holiday season and all the activities throughout the holidays. I look back, I think it was like December 17th was the last time we were in this series. We'll end it tonight, and it's really ending in a good place. Next Wednesday night is our business meeting, so we'll all be in the sanctuary next Wednesday night. And then we'll start a new series the Wednesday after that. Still praying about that right now, so I won't mention what the Lord's laid on my heart. But Matthew chapter 2 right now, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." As we were looking through this study of the wonder of the Magi, this amazing journey that the wise men have taken, they have come somewhere from the east, and we don't know exactly where. They were wise men, they were magi, and that term magi, it was used in many empires and many countries of the east. It could have been Persia, it could have been Babylon, it could have been anywhere in the Mesopotamia Valley between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, it could have been as far as India. We just don't know exactly how far they traveled. But the easiest way to understand their journey was it took at least 2 months. So the closest of the east they could have come from, it would have been at least a 2 month journey. And we don't know how many came. You know, we say the three wise men. We have hymns about the three wise men. We have names of wise men, and that's just something that the religious world has come up with. That's not something we have told us in the Scriptures. We don't know how many there were. We don't know their names. We don't know their nationalities. What we do know was they were wise men who studied the stars, who looked through prophecy or at least heard prophecy and could connect some dots and say, we saw about this star as it was talked about in the Old Testament, and we looked especially in the book of Daniel where we saw the star and the mention of the coming Christ child. And so as they're studying the stars, and Daniel sort of gives us a timeline of when it could appear, at least a year or so that we could be looking at the stars and trying to find some change in the constellations. And these wise men, as magi in their courts of the royal courts of their countries and empires where they live, the magi were looked at as someone who could interpret what's going to happen by looking at the stars, by looking at the constellations. They're not astrologers, they were more of astronomers. They were studying the constellations. And kings of the earth were relying on these men to give them instruction. We see that a lot in the book of Daniel. And we've noticed his star in verse 2, it was Jesus' star. We've studied that star, and it was a special star. It wasn't like the stars we see now. It was something unique about this star. And this journey these wise men took, they took it by following the star. And it wasn't always before them, because we see they ended up in Jerusalem. So as we conclude this series tonight, let's recap just a few minutes about the journey that we started looking at for the last couple times we were together. There was some attitudes of their journey, of these wise men, that we can learn from. These wise men sought to not just follow a star. These wise men sought to find the one whose star this was. They had an objective to their faith. They sought to know the object of their faith. This desire to worship the King set them off on this amazing journey. A journey that reveals to us four very important attitudes they displayed on their journey. And from these attitudes, we can learn principles that we can apply to our lives, to our spiritual journey as well. So previously, we studied the first two attitudes of the wise men they displayed. The first was that their journey was a journey of sacrifice. Traveling at that time was very different than traveling today. Traveling was lengthy, traveling was weary, traveling was dangerous. During the wise men's journey, the desert's weather that they would cross would vary in extremes from the heat of the day to the freezing temperatures at night. There would be windstorms and sandstorms. There would be few towns in between and few water holes in between. Maps were incomplete, roads were few and some non-existent, and along the way were thieves and bandits, and they're carrying an immense wealth with them. Their journey was uncomfortable. Their journey was inconvenient, and their journey was time-consuming. The wise men's first attitude on their journey that speaks volumes to me is that they were willing to sacrifice their time. They were willing to sacrifice their comfort. They were willing to sacrifice their positions of authority in the courts. And they were willing to sacrifice their treasures. We're not called to a life of comfort. We're not called to a life of ease. We are called to a life of sacrifice. But we also looked at this journey of the wise men. It was a journey not only of sacrifice, it was a journey of faith. Imagine a friend asking them before their departure, "Where are you going exactly?" "Well, I don't know." "How will you find the one you're looking for?" "Not sure about that either." "How long will you be gone?" "Well, that's yet to be determined." You could see their friends and their acquaintances and people in the courts of their king saying, "Wow, for wise men, you don't really know that much about your journey, do you?" "No, but we know that we're supposed to go." They didn't have a lot of information in front of them, though there is evidence in the Scriptures and of the star itself that they were going to step out by faith. They were not given a guarantee that they would end up in front of the object of their faith. They didn't have that guarantee. They're Gentiles. They were most likely serving other gods, or at least in their culture of their surroundings, other gods were worshipped. And they're embarking on a journey of faith to go and worship one who is being born. They had no guarantee written out, a promissory note that you're going to make it. But they stepped out by faith. They believed by faith they would arrive at the feet of the one they were seeking. We see evidence of their faith in verse 2 of Matthew 2. When they come to King Herod and they say, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They're telling an earthly king who considers himself the King of the Jews, "We have come a long journey, a dangerous journey, and we have come to worship him who has been born king of the Jews. Herod was not born king of the Jews. They believed by faith that they were traveling to see a newborn king of the Jews. That's an interesting thought. They were going to see a newborn male child who was king of the Jews. It does not say that he was going to be king of the Jews. It does not say that he was the son of the king of the Jews. He was a newborn that was born a king. That's unusual. Now, if you look at the Jewish way that sons came to be kings, their father was king first. And so they were a prince. They were raised up to be king, but they were not called king. Jesus was born king already. Not just king, and not just king of the Jews, but king of kings. He didn't just deserve adoration. He didn't just deserve worship or treasures. He deserved everything. And these wise men give us that example. It was not only a journey of sacrifice, and it was not only a journey of faith, but it was also a journey of worship. What did they do when they came into the house? Notice verse 11. And when they were come into the house, not in a stable anymore, they saw the young child, not a baby, with Mary his mother. And what did they do? Fell down and worshiped him. The wise men's journey was also a journey of worship. If we look at verse 2, we look at verse 8, we look at verse 11, we see the word worship, worship, worship. After a long journey, a weary journey, a dangerous journey, they finally arrived. And their action was very simple. They fell to the ground and worshiped. They're Gentiles. They hold places of authority. They're considered wise men, magi. They humble themselves and fall at the feet of a young child and worship him. And how that we know this young child was Jesus? Because he accepted their worship. If he had not been King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus, Son of God, he would not have received their worship. He could not receive their worship. Their actions were acts of humility. They gave gifts sacrificially. That's a type of worship. They praised God in verse 10 as public worship. The action of the wise men and their desire to worship Jesus should be an example to us. The desire to worship our Savior humbly, sacrificially, and publicly. Tonight we come to the last attitude that we learn from these wise men on this great journey. The journey of the wise men was not just a journey of sacrifice or a journey of faith and a journey of worship. But the wise men's journey was also a journey of obedience. Go back with me now And let's read the first 12 verses because we're going to set the stage to get to verse 12. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Verse 12, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." The journey of obedience. One of the most recognizable internal struggles that we have for us that's ever been articulated on the stage was written by William Shakespeare by the character named Hamlet. And Hamlet has this iconic phrase, "To be or not to be? That is the question." Well, I'd like to turn that on its head and give the wise men an opportunity. I believe the wise men faced a similar decision of obedience. To obey King Herod or the words of God in a dream. To obey or not to obey? That is the question. Or whom shall I obey? Now, they could have obeyed both, but it would have been sort of difficult because God had basically told them not to go to Herod. Some of them could have gone back to Jerusalem and the others could have gone back another way. They had a decision to make. And I'm sure, as Gentile wise men, they have just received a message from God that they knew, they had to know somehow this was Jehovah God. And it was in a dream. It wasn't something they ate. This was so understandable, they couldn't doubt it. They couldn't dismiss it. This was from God. Obedience is defined as submitting to the authority of another. Or it also can be defined to comply with the command, direction, or request of a person or a law. Submitting to the authority of another is to obey. But the question of obedience is rarely just black and white. To obey or not to obey? There are always consequences in our decisions to obey or not to obey. For if we obey one person, we're submitting to their authority, but at the same point, we are disobeying another. Do you think there would be consequences in life for that? Sure there would. That's where the struggle would come in, especially for us. When obedience to one authority means disobedience to another authority, because they are requiring two different paths. That's the dilemma of the wise men. Shortly after they saw Jesus, with their own eyes, their faith has become sight, and they have worshiped Jesus, presented Him gifts. They must have stayed over and they've gone to bed after their long journey. They can rest. We have made it. We've achieved what we set out to accomplish. And they slept. And as they slept, God brought them a message. For several months, they had been following and obeying the directions of the star, His star. Not the counsel of bystanders, not the counsel of Bedouin tribes, not the gossip at the oasis they stopped at. They were following His star. They were obeying the directions of His star. But now they're faced with the authority of an earthly king. But after they worshiped Jesus, they had a different authority, a higher authority. They could not obey the instructions they had received in Jerusalem. They had to obey the instructions they just received in Bethlehem because it came from God. Now, they didn't have to. They chose to. The decision was made whom they would obey. And from their journey of obedience, we too can learn on our journey, obedience. To obey is to submit to one's authority. Their journey began with obedience to the prophecy and to a star. We did not exactly know again where they were from, but much of the world certainly thinks from Babylon or Persia. So when something different changed in the constellations and they start following this star, they have invested a great amount of time and resources to find Him who has been born King of the Jews. The presence of this new star told them they needed to find this King so they might worship Him. But before they met Jesus in Bethlehem, they had an encounter with King Herod. King Herod was a powerful, jealous king. And he was concerned about one thing, Herod. He was concerned about staying in power. And if he had heard anyone trying to usurp his authority and his position, he'd have them removed. For he knew when these wise men came and said, "We're looking for the one who has been born King of the Jews." He knew he was not that one. He was not born King of the Jews. He thought himself King of the Jews. He titled himself King of the Jews. But he knew most Jews silently rejected his authority. He knew that his claim to the throne was based on brute force. And he was constantly looking over his shoulder. So you can imagine what kind of man he was and what he was going to do when the wise men came back to him with where the young child Jesus was. We find that out in the Scriptures. He sends His soldiers and kills all the male babies 2 years and younger, trying to wipe out a threat to His power and position. The struggle with obedience, though, is in the choice. Who will we submit to and when? We forget the when. When God asks us to do something, it usually comes with, do it now. Obey now. Not when you feel like it. Not when you have a big enough bank account. Not when you're comfortable in life. Not when you've worked your career and retired. No. Most of the time when God comes to us and asks us to obey Him, He wants us to obey Him now. We can see how the wise men were deeply moved when they finally found what they were searching for all this time, the object of their faith. And they had their chance to recognize and respond to His authority by bowing down to Him. But then verse 12, the struggle, the decision, the dilemma, whom are we going to obey? They had found Jesus. They knew where He was located. That is the information Herod wanted. The next thing they were supposed to do was take that information back to Jerusalem, to Herod. Verse 2 of Matthew 2 tells us that. And then verse 7 and 8. And this is the last. And verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they, the wise men, should not return to Herod, they departed, they made a decision. They departed into their own country another way. They made a decision to obey God. And this is the last we have ever heard of the wise men. They're never mentioned again. Are they in heaven today? I would pray so after bowing down before Jesus and worship as Him and giving Him treasures. I would believe they have humbled themselves and recognized His authority because they obey His authority. They submitted to the authority of God, not Herod's. But I love the way the Bible says it in verse 12. They departed into their own country another way. To me, that has double meaning. The obvious and the literal meaning was they returned home a different route than the way they came. Either they went south and then traveled home, or they traveled further west or east and they went a different way. They didn't go back north to Jerusalem. But also, I believe it can mean when they departed in their own country, into their own country another way, they returned home with a different outlook, with a different religious belief, with a different God, a different demeanor. They returned home changed. When you've been in the presence of Jesus, you will leave changed. You will go about your way different. These wise men went home another way. I believe their encounter with Jesus, even though He was a young child, He's still the Son of God. He is the God-man. Even as a young toddler, however old Jesus was at this point, when the wise men are there bowing down to Him, worshiping Him, Jesus would have understood They are worshiping me as God. And he would have accepted their worship. I believe Jesus was cognizant of what was going on. This journey of faith, as they have basically lived out Hebrews chapter 11, 1. They have stepped out in faith, going somewhere like Abraham of old, depart and I'll show you where to go. God said, follow my star. So they said, well, let's go. And they followed his star by faith, step by step, across the vast journey of land that they had to travel 2 months or more, dangers, weather, bandits, lack of water, lack of food, hardships, definitely, inconvenience and lack of comfort. They said, this journey of faith is worth it because we're journeying to see the object of our faith. And when they got to the point where they were able to see Jesus, they fall on their faces and have been changed. They were not just changed by their journey. They were changed by their encounter. We're on a journey of faith. Do you realize that? We are on a journey to go see someone we've never seen. We're going to go to a place we've never been. Oh, we've heard about it. But the Bible even tells us that it doesn't do it justice. If we would just take one aspect of what we have heard about heaven, I have a great imagination. And I can imagine some pretty amazing things. But God's above my thoughts and above my ways. So anything we can imagine that He has described for us about heaven, it's far greater. So we're on a journey of faith. It's a journey of sacrifice. It's a journey of hardships. It's a journey of worship. But it's also a journey that requires obedience. Don't go that way, go this way. Don't go that way, go this way. Don't listen to them, listen to Him. And if we'll continue on this journey that we're on, we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him face to face. I don't think that's going to last too long because I'm going to be on my face looking at the street of gold, worshiping Jesus. The journey of faith we're on is worth it. If we could talk to the wise men today, I think what they would tell us was, oh yeah, it was hard, but it was so worth it because we saw Jesus. And once we saw Him, we were changed. Have your encounters with the Lord along this journey caused you to be changed? Have you been changed by His presence? Oh, well, I know physically we haven't been in His presence, but I have had some moments where I know He's right there. I have felt His presence. I have sensed His presence. He's spoken to me from His Word. And that have changed me. Have you ever been changed by His presence? Heavenly Father, thank You for this study. I know there was so much more here that you wanted us to see that I failed to see. But I thank you, Lord, for what you did show us. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes even more through the Holy Spirit power to teach us even more about this beautiful passage in Matthew chapter 2 in the first 12 verses and what you were doing through the wise men for us to see. Thank you, they went home a different way, another way. Now help us, Lord, to allow you to change us when we enter your presence. We thank you, Lord, for trusting us and loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.